in church. I was sitting back there, and I had my coat unbuttoned, because that's how I roll. But then Cameron got up here, and his was buttoned. And I thought, man, I think I should button mine when I go up there. And I asked my son, and he said, do what Cameron does. So I said, all right. Yeah, so I'm just going to make all my decisions that way. This past Friday, I had the benefit. My wife and I got to take. It was a beautiful day. I don't know if you got to get outside Friday. That's one of the blessings of being a minister is you get Friday off. And we took our two younger kids to the zoo, which my wife loves the zoo. I mean, I think she does like the family membership. I mean, I like the zoo. I'm not in love with the zoo. It's cool, but it's all, you know. But we went to the zoo, and I mean, it's an awesome day. Like, the jaguar was sleeping. They have a jaguar now because you didn't know they had a jaguar sleeping. The sun was hitting. This coat was just beautiful. I mean, it was an amazing-looking creature. These gorillas were, they were inside. They weren't outside. And, you know, you're behind this glass, and these four gorillas were, like, fighting. I mean, like, one was banging his chest, and they were running and chasing each other. I mean, it was extremely violent. And I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit nervous. I mean, I'm safe, you know, on the other side of this glass, but it was a little bit troubling because how amazing these creatures are. It was an amazing day. And, you know, my wife, she loves the zoo, always takes our kids. She teaches our kids so much about animals. You know, it's not my thing. I mean, like, one time Leon, when he was a little kid in Bible class, like 4 years old or something, the teacher's showing a picture, and it's like this red parrot. She's like, what's this? And the kids are all parrot. And Leon's like, that's a scarlet macaw. And, you know, he didn't learn that from me. What they learn from me is when the Bible class teacher comes and tells me, you know, I've never had one of my four-year-olds sing Dr. John's song, The Cover of the Rolling Stone. And like, well, that one he learned from me. If you know that song, then that one he learned from me. I take credit for that. But we're at the zoo, and my wife, she brings this bag with sandwiches and drinks and all that stuff for us. And she's carrying it, right? And it's pretty heavy. And then I said, you need me to carry that for you, and because I'm a gentleman. And she said, oh, I'm good right now. I said, okay, well, I'll carry it after lunch. Right? When I go hiking in the woods, sometimes you take your food with you. And, you know, if you're going to be gone for a week and maybe you're sharing the load with other people, it's always good, just so you know, take the food you're going to eat early in the week, right? Get rid of that weight. You want to shed that weight. That's what you want to do. It's smart. Because you notice that, especially as you go. The more you hike, that weight starts to add up, doesn't it? I was hiking once with a group of people. And there was one individual, we'll say his name is Bill, and there was another individual, his name is Bob, and Bob did not like Bill very much. I don't know why we were hiking together in the woods. People don't like each other, should not be in the woods alone together for long periods of time. But they were together in the woods, and what Bob would do to Bill whenever Bill wasn't looking, he would take rocks and put them in his backpack down at the bottom. And that slowly increased over time, and it wasn't until we got back after a week, and he's emptying his backpack out, that he starts to bring out all these, you know, good-sized rocks. And that was a cruel trick. All right, where are we going with all this? The name of the sermon is Lose the Weight. You get it? It's not this weight, all right? It's the weight we carry around. Although, I need that sermon for another day. But it's the weight we carry around. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 32 today. And we're looking at this. If you got a Bible, open to Psalm 32. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one on the pew in front of you. And I want to encourage you to open it up. We're going to do the first seven verses of Psalm 32 because it's good for you to look at it as you read, I believe. And we're just going to look at this. Okay, this is interesting. David wrote this. We don't know exactly. It's possible David wrote this after, the sin with Bathsheba and having Uriah killed and things like this. Maybe it was that. We don't know for sure. You know, David probably had other sin in his life. But when we have sin in our life that we keep, we're carrying weight that we don't have to carry. And that weight can be extremely detrimental to us. So we're going to look at Psalm 32. We're just going to, like I said, the first seven verses. And we're going to break this down. And I think this is extremely important for us. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. David starts off right off the bat saying, you know who's blessed? Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, right? Whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The word covered there could also be hidden. Right? That word hidden is going to come up a couple times in this. Whose sins are hidden. Hidden by who? Hidden by you? If you're in your own sins, my own sins, when I hide them, I'm blessed? No, it's when God hides them, right? It's when God covers them. which is what God has done through Jesus Christ for all of us, right? Blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered, whose sins are hidden. Verse 2, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Blessed is the man whose sins are not counted against him. They're not held against him, and in him whose spirit is no deceit. When you have sin in your life, right, and you're the one who knows about it, and you don't bring these before God, do you think you're fooling God? Do you think he doesn't see through that? You would be deceitful, or thought of as deceitful. You would be like Adam and Eve, right? Who, when they sinned, what did they try to do? They tried to cover their sin. They sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness, and they hid in the amongst the trees when they heard God coming. They were trying to hide from God. They were trying to hide their sin from God. They were being deceitful. Think about that. All of us have sins. We have little sins all the time, right? We may have some big ones that we haven't brought before God. Maybe the little ones. I mean, whatever. A sin is sin, right? I mean, not exactly, but we're not talking about that. If you have sin in your life and you're holding on to it and you're not bringing it before God, and maybe even bringing it before those who can hold you accountable and help you in that, you're only deceiving yourself. You are not deceiving God. And that's something we don't usually equate, right? I may have a certain sin in my life, and I want to add on to that being deceitful, being a liar, because that's what it is, right? And so we can have our sins covered, hidden, or we can try to hide. That's the way it works. You see the juxtaposition there. We can have our sins hidden, or we can be hidden. But who are we hidden from? When we have sin in our life, we're hiding from God. We're also hiding from each other. I'm not putting the real me in front of you. There's something that I have in my life, a sin that's weighing on my shoulders, something that I've done or continuously do that I'm not bringing before you, and I'm being deceitful. I'm putting myself out there as someone who has no sin, right, or everything is okay, and I'm lying. I'm lying to you, and I'm lying to God, even lying to myself. So blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, not the one who's trying to cover them up themselves. That person is not blessed. But when you have no deceit, when you are transparent, when you have confessed your sins, David is saying, you are blessed. God, because God is the only one that can remove those. You don't hide them until they go away. Right? God is the only one that can remove those. So David's now going to talk about himself. Right? He's going to talk about himself in this. Verse 3. David said, when I kept silent, when I didn't confess my sins, when I didn't bring those before God, when I didn't bring those before the elders, right? When I held on to them myself, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. My bones wasted away, or they wore out. It just wore me down. I had no relief. It said, through my groaning all day long. Now listen to that. There's some more juxtaposition, right? You know, they say whenever you learn a new word, you're supposed to use it multiple times so it really sinks in. That's why I keep saying juxtaposition. So let's look at this juxtaposition here. When I kept silent, he says, when I kept silent, when I confessed my sins, there's still noise being made, isn't there? There's groaning. There's moaning. The actual word there is roaring like a lion. A cry of distress. That's what's going on. He's trying to be quiet with his sin. He's trying to hide it and keep them to himself. But his body itself is crying out because he feels the weight of that sin. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away or wore out through my groaning all day long. There's no hiding it. You feel it, because that's what sin does. You physically feel it. When you've done something, when you know you've done something, you've sinned against God, you've sinned against others, you don't get rest. It doesn't go away. You can't just forget about it. It stays with you. You focus on it. You dwell on it. It can cause pain. It can cause upset stomach. It can cause headache. That's what sin does. Physically, it can waste you away. Verse 4, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. No relief. You don't get sleep when you have sin in your life, do you? You toss and turn. You wake up multiple times. Day and night, look at this. Your hand was heavy upon me. Your hand, the hand of God was heavy upon David. Now, this sounds rough, and indeed it is, but it's from a place of love. It's a good thing if God's hand is heavy on you, because it's bringing you to a place of repentance, hopefully. That's not a bad thing. If God did not care, then his hand would not be upon David. You might call this a conscience, maybe, right? When something's weighing on you, that is a good place to be. It's better than the alternative of it not weighing on you. Jeremiah 6:15. God says, are they ashamed, talking about those who've turned away from God, are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. That's where you don't want to be, where you're no longer feeling guilty about your sin. That's when you've fallen so far away, you can't even blush about it, right? You have no shame at all. Ephesians 4:18-19, Paul says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. The more you sin, the more you continue to sin, the more you try to act like it doesn't mean anything, your heart becomes calloused. You stop feeling the weight of that sin. You stop feeling the hand of God upon you, letting you know you are in the wrong. You can get to that place. Continuing in verse 19 of Ephesians, he says, having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. You get to the point when you allow sin to control you, to sit on you, to rest on you, and you don't do anything about it. You don't bring it before God. It starts to mean less and less to you. And when sin starts to mean less and less to you, you start to mean less and less to yourself. And it will make it easier for you to engage in other sins or to continue down that path away from God. That's what sin does. That's the difference ultimately between Judas, who betrayed Jesus, and Peter, who denied Jesus. One let the sin consume them and didn't turn back to Christ. One went back to Christ and repented and went on to be used by God. God wants us to come to a place of repentance. What we all have in common is sin. When I say all, I don't mean just in this room. I mean worldwide, right? No, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. What we all have in common is sin. What we don't all have in common is confessing that sin, is recognizing we are flawed, is recognizing we are wrong, is recognizing that we need salvation. That's the difference. And when we let it go, it eats away at us and eats away at us till there's really not much of us left at all. And sin doesn't mean that much because we don't mean that much. And our hearts become hard and we have no shame and we continue and to do more and more detestable things. Let's go back to Psalm 32 now. He said, back in verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Like I said, that's a blessing that can lead to repentance. He says, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. At least that's the NIV's reading. My strength was sapped. My juice was gone. My energy was gone, is what he's saying. It's like maybe a heat stroke here. We just has nothing. The sin that David committed, whether it was the one with Bathsheba or something else entirely, we don't know. But it stayed with him so much he had no energy for anything else. You know, this speaks to the type of relationship David has with God, right? Now, like I said, we all sin. That's not the secret. We can try to make it a secret. We can try to hide it. But again, you're only fooling yourself. We all sin. And if it's weighing on you, if there's something in your life that you have not confessed, some type of sin that is weighing on you, that means you still have a relationship with God. That's okay. It's not good to stay there. Right? But it means that you recognize that there is something between you and God. Or maybe you and someone else. Your strength is sapped. It keeps you from doing what you need to do. When you have sin in your life, is it easy to pray? No, it's not. How do you go to the one in prayer when that sin is weighing on your heart and on your mind? Is it easy to take communion and remember the sacrifice of his son? Not always, is it? Is it easy to be with his children? It makes it very difficult. It wears you out. It draws you away. There's only one solution to this. To continue to run is continuing to flee God. And that's going to get you exactly where you're going. There is only one solution, true solution to sin. Now, the answer to sin for us, not in David's case, but for us, has already been given. Jesus died on the cross. We know this. This is why we come here every Sunday. This is what we celebrate. This is what, you know, why we praise God, because he's paid for that, paid for all of our sins. So now the ball is in your court. There's only one way to deal with sin. God's done his part. All is required now is for you to bring it before him. So now we go into verse 5, right? This weight of sin that's been on David, how does he deal with it? Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you. I acknowledged my sin to you. No longer is it hidden, right? I did not cover up my iniquity. Now, to me, iniquity is not a strong word. It is a strong word, but in our common language, iniquity, I don't know, it doesn't come off real harsh to me. There's some better words there, at least for me personally. So I'm going to give you some other words that may work better for you than just iniquity. I grew up hearing iniquity. It just sounds like a small sin or something. It's not. That's not what it means. So I'm going to, some other words that help me with this word here. Not, you know, acknowledging my sin, not, here we are again, covering up. I don't want to be the one who covers my sin. I want God to cover my sin, right? And I won't cover up my iniquity. I won't cover up my perversity. That's much stronger for me, personally. Depravity, my guilt. Those are other words there. Depravity, guilt, perversity. I'm no longer going to cover those up. I'm going to lay those out before God. How hard is that? How hard is it to take your sin, the ugliness in your life, the faults, the bad choices, the horrible things you've done, and to lay them out before God? And I'll say this, maybe even lay them out to other brothers and sisters that you know and trust, right? To lay those out. I don't know if you got a story like that. I got a story like that that I'm not going to share because these go online, you know, I don't want that out there. No, but I had a moment in my life where I had to lay depravity out in front of others. It's painful. It's humiliating. You want to run and hide. You wish that you would be judged and just so you could just get out of there, right? And try to write it off. But I've come through it on the other side. And I've seen the blessings of doing it. And I felt the release of that weight, right? And that's what David's talking about here. The guilt that we carry around, the shame, the embarrassment, all of that. There's only one way to get rid of it. Uncover it. Give it to God. Bring it before those that you know and love. He says, I acknowledge my sin. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And get this, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You forgave the guilt of my sin. This is what God does. You know, this is not a New Testament thing. I mean, it is a New Testament thing, but it's not only a New Testament thing. All throughout the Old Testament, God forgives his people over and over. He says, if you just come to me, if you just come to me, I'll forgive you. God wants to forgive his people. He doesn't want those barriers between us. He wants to get rid of them. He wants to cover them. He wants to hide them away. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. God will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is what God has been doing with his people all throughout history. He has been forgiving them, right? Proverbs 28, 13 and 14 says, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their hearts falls into trouble. This is what God has always done and what he wants to do. You might be sitting here, and right as we speak, maybe something is on your mind or something is on your heart, and you know you got to give it up, but you're afraid. You're afraid of how others will view you. You're afraid of what others might think of you. Here's what you don't need to be afraid of. You don't need to be afraid of what God will do. Okay? You don't need to be afraid of what God's going to think of you. Because he's longing to help you lose that weight. To get rid of that load that you're carrying. He wants to forgive you. So this is what David says. He says, look, guys, I had this sin. I mean, it was heavy. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. My body was in pain. I was miserable. But I gave it to God. He took it away. He's the only one that can take it away. And so he says in verse 6, therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you. If you're godly, this is what you do. Pray to God. He says, pray to you while you may be found. Because there's a time when you won't be able to give that up anymore. There's a time when it's too late. I think on one hand, it's going to be when Jesus comes back. You hold on to your sins. You allow that to eat, continually eat away and draw you further and further from God. There'll be a time when it's too late. But I think there'll also be, before that, possibly, a time to where that sin eats away at you so much that your relationship with Jesus Christ is no longer existing. And he hasn't come back yet, but you've destroyed that relationship because you've allowed that sin to get a hold and to eat away at you like a cancer. God can still be found. Let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. When the mighty waters rise, what do you think of? Well, you think of the flood, I guess. That's what I think of. But I also think of Jesus' words in Matthew, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, right? The wise man puts his words into practice, builds his house on the rock. The rains come, the waters come up, the winds blow, but he's not shaken. When you continually seek Jesus, though the high waters of sin don't have to knock you down. They don't have to make you impotent. They don't have to make you be someone who's not used by God. When the waters rise, they'll not reach him. And then get this, verse 7, I love this, right? He said, you're blessed when God hides your sins, when God covers your sins. He says, I'm not going to cover up my sin, right? I'm not going to try to lie and deceive God and try to hide from him or hide my sin. I'm going to lay my sin out there. Now look at this, verse 7. You are my hiding place. No longer, you see how it turned? It's no longer David hiding from God. It's David hiding in God. That's our choice. We run from God or we run to God. We hide from God or we hide in God. You're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. You've probably been in that place, and I say you probably have because you're a human being. Well, you got sin. You got something you just feel horrible about. And some feelings that come over you are things like loneliness. You really feel like you're the only one out there, right? I equate it to, you know, being out on a wilderness somewhere, just exposed to all the elements, nothing to protect me. I feel cold. I feel in pain. I feel lonely. I feel scared. I don't know what direction I'm going. It's a horrible feeling when you have guilt on you like that compared to being hidden in God, surrounded, protected, singing songs of deliverance in a state of grace and thanksgiving and praise to God for what he's done for me. It's really, guys, not a hard choice, is it? It's hard to do, to give that sin to God, to confess and to give it up. But man, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 20, he said, Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Jesus went around, he was performing miracles in towns, some of these towns, and you know, they knew who Jesus was, and they recognized him, like, ah, you know, who's this guy? And he comes down on them hard because they don't repent. They don't change. They don't turn away from how they've been living and come to him. And then you skip down to verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Rest from carrying that weight of sin. Of course, he's talking about they're trying to survive under the law, and they can't do it. But a part with going along with that is sin, right? Because you can't save yourself. You can't get rid of that on your own. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You want to carry that weight around, or do you want to give it to Jesus? He'll give you something to carry that's much lighter. He's gentle, he's meek, he's gracious, and you can carry his yoke of salvation, freedom, joy, peace, love, That's what he gives you in exchange for the burden of sin. You know this, right? I've not told you anything you don't know. I hope this psalm helps you come to a place of desiring to confess sin. It all happens because of Jesus Christ. You see, we ask for forgiveness and God forgives. He did that for David. He's done that. He would do that for the Israelites when they turned away. But he's given us ultimately a way through Jesus' death on the cross where those sins are completely eradicated. Right? As far as the east is from the west, God removes our sins, and he does that through Jesus Christ, where all of our sins, right, will be removed, and he comes to dwell with us, right? There's more to it. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to end with this, verse 26 through 28. Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. And this is why we love and praise Jesus Christ, right? Because of what he's done for us. His death on the cross paid for our sins. Verse 26, but he, Christ, has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus came at the culmination of the ages to pay for our sins by the sacrifice of himself on the cross. Verse 27, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. That's what Jesus came to do. He removed your sin. Without Jesus, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no removal of sins. How was David's sin that he was talking about in 32 removed? I believe it's removed through Jesus Christ. The sins of all the Israelites that they committed over and over, and God was saying, come back to me, come back to me, I'm going to forgive you. They died just like David died. But what was going to pay for their sins? Ultimately, it was going to be Jesus Christ. At the culmination of the ages, Jesus died on the cross for removal of all sins. Christ sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And here we go, guys. If you need a time to confess, you need to do it today while the Lord is here before it's too late. He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. When Jesus comes back, I believe there are going to be those that are there, ready. And there are going to be those trying to hide. You don't have to live your life hiding. You don't have to try to hide your sins. You don't have to try to hide from God. You don't have to try to hide from other Christians, other people, because of what's in your life, because of the things you've done, the things you don't have to hide. You can confess, and you can come before God. And you can be seen by him. You can be known by him. You can be loved by him. That is available to all of us. To be able to come before someone and stand in front of them, knowing that you are a sinner, but that those sins are forgiven. And you are no longer that way. You are now being transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. What a trade. Who wouldn't take that? But it starts with confession, right? Sometimes we need to do that. That opportunity is today. If you want to confess, right, that opportunity is today, given to you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. You can come down. You can confess. You can confess. Maybe you just need to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you want to take him on a baptism. You can confess that also, right? If there's things that this church can do for you, if we can assist you in any way to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, we offer you that now as we stand and sing.